Well, welcome. It is week one of the summer movie sermon series, which whenever Brad and I do any type of planning, I just want to skip to August. I'm a movie buff, and when he said he was going on a six-week sabbatical and was going to be gone for all of August, whoo, I was jazzed because last year I got to pick one, and this year all of the movies I picked. So if you don't like them and you haven't seen them, if you've seen them and you don't like them, that's fine. But if you haven't seen them and you don't like them because you heard about it, no. So I'm kicking off the month with The Greatest Showman. And how many folks were able to see it? That's a fair amount. Good job. Fantastic. So I'll say right now, I love the movie. I love the soundtrack. Kit and Krista, thank you so much. You got me a little misty up here because I don't think I've ever been able to listen to the song This Is Me without getting a little misty. And I would suggest going on YouTube and looking up This Is Me from the original cast member and watching it. It gives me goosebumps every time. It's fantastic. And so, again, with the music, the movie is great. The story is fantastic. The music is amazing. So downloading the soundtrack also might not be a bad idea. The combination of the catchy music and the funky dance moves, they make me feel very warm and happy inside. It pretty much has everything. A love story that has mean parents, getting in the way that, and also has class differences. And success is made through grit and determination. There's personal growth. There's precious friendships, and not only one underdog, but several folks who are down and out who overcome the odds set against them. It's a lovely story. The Greatest Showman is loosely based on the life of Phineas Taylor Barnum, who in 1871 created what would become the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, which shut down for good last year. To say the movie's loosely based on the historical figure of P.T. Barnum is a bit of a stretch. There are only three essential details that connects the movie to the actual life of P.T. Barnum. P.T. indeed did marry a woman named Charity, and of course he did create the Museum of Oddities, which evolved into the Traveling Circus. And for those of you who have seen the show, he really did introduce the Swedish opera singer Jenny Lind to America. The rest of his story has been reimagined for the movie to sell more tickets. However beautiful and compelling the story, it is important to know that this movie is primarily a work of fiction. I point this out because there are relationships and moments in the movie that simply did not happen or could not have happened in the time in which P.T. Barnum and his circus was created. The movie begins with Phineas as a boy who's living in poverty with his father. As all good tales go, there's a tragedy in the boy's life, and he must find a way in a world that is cruel to those who are born within the lower classes. Thanks to the kindness of a woman who has some sort of unknown condition that sets her apart from the rest of society, because of her kindness, Phineas survives a rather desperate time and carries on and becomes a self-sufficient adult. Later, in another bleak moment, Phineas is inspired to start a museum of oddities. His memory of how the somewhat deformed woman helped him when he was younger leads him to create a new show, a circus displaying people, who they are, themselves, odd, who are not normal, not the usual, a bearded lady, a giant, a wolf man, Siamese twins, and a man tattooed from head to foot. The circus has its opponents and those who fear the unknown and the unusual. Phineas must fight against so many cultural norms to create a home for all his own family and then the family he creates with the people of his circus. Despite his successes, he cannot escape the lower class in which he was born into. The deformed and strange human oddities he befriends are thought to be the result of moral depravity, And so the righteous protest his circus along with those who fear what they don't understand. There are two constant aspects to Phineas's character in the movie. He loves his wife and his children without reserve, and he cares very deeply for his new friends. Of course, there wouldn't be a story worth watching if there wasn't a hiccup now and then in how Phineas treats his family and his friends. But overall, it is evident that he cares not for what society determines is acceptable. He loves regardless of what's right. When I thought about this movie for the sermon series, it was not hard to connect scripture with this story. The relationships Phineas developed with the people who came out from the shadows to be in his show is reminiscent of how easily Jesus approached the people of his time, who had the terrible disease of leprosy. Leprosy is a contagious disease that affects the skin, mucous membranes, and nerves, causing discoloration, lumps on the skin, and in severe cases, disfigurement and deformities. Leprosy still exists today, but now mainly confined in tropical Africa and Asia. I've never met or even seen someone with leprosy, but I'm pretty sure that if I did, I would think twice before I would outstretch my hand for a handshake and touch them like Jesus did. In the scripture, Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus did exactly what no one else would do. He reached out to the one suffering. Besides just looking gross and inherently not wanting to get too close, Jews would have not touched a person known to be ill because it would mean that they would be unclean until they could perform their ritual cleansing. And until they could be clean, they could not interact in many everyday social activities. Of course, this was in the days before germs and the miracles of soap were truly understood. It was important to follow the religious laws because it often meant that you actually stayed healthy. Last week I was in St. Louis for the Love Thy Neighbor Coalition's For Everyone Born conference. I'm not sure they could have got that conference name any longer. The Queer Clergy Caucus met to discuss how we would proceed with a special general conference that will take place in St. Louis in February of 2019. You see, at this special general conference, there will be some important decisions made. In the Book of Discipline, which is the rule book for the United Methodist Church, it states that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teachings, and that marriage is between a male and a female, along with people who are self-avowed and practicing homosexuals cannot be ordained. So at this conference in February, we'll be in conversation and hopefully vote to strike the hurtful and harmful language from the Book of Discipline. This fall, if this is the first time you're hearing of all of this, we live in a little bit of a bubble here at Highlands United Methodist Church, and some folks might know that our Book of Discipline, or kind of the book that goes in conjunction with the Bible for United Methodists, has all of this language in it that I'm guessing many, if not all of you, disagree with. So this fall, you'll be hearing more about this Book of Discipline and the information that we're hoping to be struck out of it in a few meetings and conversations held by Brad and I. But I tell you a bit about it now because my LGBTQ plus siblings and I feel like we could be part of P.T. Barnum's circus. That we have these reconciling churches like Highlands United Methodist where we're all welcome and loved for exactly who God created us to be. Just like P.T. Barnum and all of his oddities, we're all welcome together under that big tent. And then we have some outside forces that are trying to make it so the Book of Discipline stays the exact same, or if it's possible, gets even worse. And because we, LGBTQ+, my siblings and brothers, or siblings, we're different, we are the other, it is easy for the denomination who are on one end of the spectrum to pick us out and make us feel like we're not wanted. My time in St. Louis for the conference was powerful. Heard amazing sermons, was able to have meaningful conversations about next steps, how to fight the injustices of the church, how to support my fellow LGBTQ plus siblings. And we have a long ways to go until we're completely welcomed in the United Methodist Church as a whole, but we're willing to fight for what is right. I personally want to thank Highlands United Methodist Church and my church family for paving the way for other churches to see how church families should be. Loving, welcoming, and living out every day that all really means all are welcome here. Now, at some point in his life, the real P.T. Barnum became a politician. I'm not going there, so calm down. From one of his speeches in the line, "A human soul that God has created and Christ has died for, it is not to be trifled with. It may tenant the body of a Chinaman, a Turk, an Arab, or a Hottentot, it is still an immortal spirit." In a time not much different than the time we are in now, when people of color were disregarded as less than human, when those who were not normal or suffered misfortune in life were considered beneath the general public's care, P.T. Barnum made a home for the unusual. This sentiment comes through more so in the movie than the reality of P.T. Barnum's life. As I said earlier, the progressive views that the movie displays are improbable considering the time the movie was set in. Although P.T. Barnum advocated for the end of slavery and pushed for the African-American suffrage, in his younger years he was a slave owner. The movie does depict an openly interracial couple, but it is hard to imagine that that could have been possible in the mid-1800s. But that is one of the reasons this movie is so compelling. What seems to have been impossible becomes possible. Social barriers are broken. Courage is found to stand up to what is unjust. The strong fight the good fight so that the broken, the scared, the ill, the hurt, and the unusual can come into the daylight and be seen. The movie version of P.T. Barnum creates an environment of welcome in which each person's worth is recognized regardless of how they are packaged up for the world to see. He says to those who have not known any kindness from society as he tries to convince them to join the circus, "They don't know it yet, but they're going to love you." No matter the size, shape, color of those in his life, he sees them fully for who they are. His actions showed his love. And that is what Jesus taught us to do so long ago with the lepers, the prostitutes, the ill, and the poor. And that is what God would have us do when we leave this place of comfort and safety and love and go back into the world to share God's love with all we meet. To know that in praying for healing, courage, hope, we must never forget also to reach out in love and offer a hand that is compassionate and welcoming, for love is not that distant. It is as close as a handshake, an arm around the shoulder, a hug, a hand held in prayer, in a building, a home where all belong. I pray that it may be forever so. Amen.